following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege and the joy of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. This Christmas Eve morning, we also celebrate the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. This is a kind of a rare... I do like you, I just don't want to echo. This is a rare year where the fourth Sunday of Advent falls on Christmas Eve, which in a little way, it almost feels like we're cheated out of a couple extra days of Advent this year. I know pastor friends who started Advent a whole week early, so they didn't get cheated out of that week. But like, this Advent just sort of rushed right by, and now we're here. So we're packing a lot into today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then tonight, Christmas Eve. I hope that for you, Advent has been a rich season. I hope that it has been for you an opportunity to reflect on our question this season. What child is this? I hope that you have made time and have made space to be awakened to the world around you, and to be awakened to the coming birth of the Savior, Jesus. And I hope, and this is maybe the hope that is the hardest one of all in this season, I hope that you have had time to rest, had time to find peace, time to know that you are loved by the Creator God. This morning, we meet our fourth character in the Christmas story. Joseph. We're going to read a bit more about him, and we're going to unpack that together. But let me pray for us, and then we'll get into Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one, I know Dave would love to bring one to you if you raise your hand. But let me pray for us, and then we'll read from Matthew. Heavenly Father, this Christmas Eve morning, we worship together with a lot going on. A lot of good, fun, exciting, wonderful things. And even some tough, painful, hurtful things. God, this morning we ask for your peace. We ask for your hope. We ask for your comfort and your strength. Speak to us this morning, Lord, with the words that you need us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll be reading from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So, Joseph. If you're like me, Joseph is kind of this peripheral character to the Christmas story. Or I always think about Joseph in that way. The Magi are, you know, big and important. The shepherds are really important. Mary, obviously, is incredibly important. Then I always just sort of Joseph is this guy who's just sort of on the side. He's there, but he's just there. That's not the case for Matthew in his gospel. Joseph is at the center of Matthew's account of Jesus' birth. This is a story about how Joseph becomes Jesus' earthly father. It's quite different from Luke, which clearly tells us a whole lot more about Mary. Matthew focuses on Joseph, on the man who is to become the husband of the mother of Jesus. And why? Why is Joseph the focus? Why does Matthew pay such close attention to him? Why does Joseph matter? There's three things that I want us to look at, or I want to look at this morning as we explore who Joseph is, what his role is in the Christmas story, and what we can learn from this. And in order to get to the first two points of this, we're going to take a little step back, a few verses into the very beginning of Matthew 1. Your favorite, and mine, genealogy, because we didn't get enough of it this fall. But it's there for a reason. It's not just to gloss over. It's not just a list of names that, obligatorily, I'm going to keep making up words, begin this story. These names mean something. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. I won't read them all, but the names are there. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Matthew spends the first 17 verses preparing us to meet Joseph. Joseph, a man who is descended from King David, a fact vital to one of the many ways Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy. But even though we have all this genealogy from Matthew, it appears to be all for nothing because Matthew also emphasizes the fact that Mary became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And so we're still left with this why. But we find the key to Joseph's role in the story in verses 21 and 25, which read, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And then in verse 25, "And he gave him the name Jesus." R.T. France, the author of a commentary on Matthew, explains why this is such a big deal. Joseph's decision is directed by God through an angelic revelation in a dream. Specific emphasis is placed both in the angel's message and in the subsequent narrative on Joseph's role in naming Jesus, which was the responsibility of the legal father and which ensured the official status of the son and heir. So not only is the name Jesus itself theologically significant, but also the fact that it is given to him under divine direction and by whom it is given. It is through this act of Joseph that Jesus also becomes son of David. Joseph names Jesus. And in naming Jesus, Joseph becomes his legal father. And Jesus becomes his legal heir, which places Jesus at the end of this long genealogy, squarely there as a descendant of David. And to Matthew's readers, this is vitally important because Matthew is speaking of the Messiah referenced in Isaiah, among other places. Jesus is the Messiah, the prophesied one, the very one who is prophesied about. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And that's the second really important meaning of this genealogy. Because in the genealogy, in the history of Joseph's ancestors, we see a list of people, of human beings, flawed men and flawed women, people. It is a reminder of us. In the reading of the genealogy, everyone who reads the Gospel of Matthew holds a reminder not just of great heroes of faith, but of human people. We are reminded in this genealogy of war, of death, of treachery, of sin, of terrible decisions, of turning away from God, and even exile. This genealogy tells the story of a people who didn't for one second deserve a Savior. The story of a people who did nothing to earn the coming of a Messiah. It is the story of a people who time and time again turned away from God. And yet, it's the story of a people unto whom a child is born. Emmanuel, God with us. The power of the name Emmanuel resonates fuller for me this year, having read those first five books of the Old Testament together this fall. Knowing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob so much better, knowing the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt, knowing the brokenness there is in that people, just as there is in all people. And Jesus comes into all of that with us. God with us. God with us in our terrible decisions, with us in the death and the violence, with us in anger, with us in our sin. Jesus is God with us. Matthew doesn't tell, Matthew doesn't allow the world's need for a Savior to get lost in the birth narrative. Matthew doesn't want to let us gloss over the Messiah that is needed. A Messiah that is needed was needed 2,000 years ago just as much as today. God with us. Over the past 3 weeks, we have spent a fair amount of time meeting, interacting with, and hearing from some marginalized people in Israel in the time of Jesus. We met the shepherds, who were outcasts. We met the Magi, who were Gentile astrologers. And we met Mary, a pregnant, unwed young woman. And in meeting these people, we have been reminded that the good news of a Savior was specifically given to each one of these people. We are reminded that the good news of Jesus Christ belongs to each one of these, belongs to the outcasts, to Gentiles, to women, to those society and the religious establishment have cast aside, to those seen as second class. But this morning, here, we have Joseph, a Jewish man. A Jewish man who was faithful to the law. And a lot of translations, and maybe even what we kind of remember, is Joseph was a righteous man. Right, someone who knew the law, someone who was faithful to the law, someone who was a part of the religious establishment. He is not an outcast. He is not a Gentile. He is not a woman. He is someone who fits in. He's someone who had a trade. He's someone who is respected. And Joseph is just as much a part of the story. And what does that mean for us? Like many of you, I would imagine, I tend to read narrative sections of Scripture and try to think about who I would want to be in the narrative. And then I try to force myself to think about who I really am in that narrative. And this isn't always the most theologically sound thing to do, Because most often we can't equate one to one, right? I can't place myself in just any narrative as though my life parallels the life of someone who lived 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. But being mindful of that, I do think trying to identify with individual characters in a narrative can help us to understand what we are reading, what we are seeing, and where we can go with that. So in reading the story of the birth of Christ, I tend to want to put myself in the place of the shepherds or the magi. I want to put myself in their places, frankly, because I really like them. Like, they seem, you know, like really great people in this story. The shepherds are faithful men who are awake. They hear an angel and they follow directions to meet the Messiah. The magi are Gentiles, like me, who follow a star and find and meet the Messiah, a Messiah that is for them as much as anyone. I don't tend to gravitate towards identifying with Mary too often, though I have great admiration for her strength, for her bravery, for her ability to recognize what Jesus will mean to her and to her people. Mary's Magnificat, Mary's song, is one of the most incredible things that anyone in the Bible sings. I also think I identify with all three of these characters because they have so much to gain in meeting Jesus. And I really like that. They're kind of like underdogs who have this great opportunity in front of them. These outcasts, Gentiles, and women have a much more real understanding of what it means to be looked down upon, to be seen as second-class people, but it is to them that a Savior is born. I like being and putting myself in the role of the underdog, especially the underdog that wins, right? But if I'm being honest with myself, I am probably a whole lot more like Joseph in this narrative. And that is not by any means a bad thing. Like, Joseph is not even remotely a bad character in this. But it means that more is required. There's more required of Joseph. And I realized that I need to identify with Joseph because I, like Joseph, am in a place of power. Right? I am a married, straight, middle-class, educated white man in North America. I haven't experienced oppression or discrimination in any significant way. That is not part of my life story. I don't know what it means to be considered second class in society, aside from having conversations with those who do. And neither does Joseph. The role Joseph plays, and what I believe I can learn a lot from, is the role of listener and the role of supporter. Joseph listens both to Mary and to God, discerning this new, incredibly difficult, complicated situation. And then Joseph supports Mary, marries her, takes her home, and raises Jesus as his own son. And as far as we know, Joseph didn't kick the magi or the shepherds out. He allowed these Gentiles and these outcast shepherds in to meet the newborn baby. He welcomed them in to meet the Messiah. Joseph is the one who had everything to lose in this. Joseph took a huge risk. He had everything going for him. But he was willing to listen to God, to support Mary, to offer himself in this supportive role. For those of us who find ourselves in positions of power, in positions of privilege, whatever that may look like, we have an important role to play in listening and supporting those who are marginalized, those who are suffering injustice, those who are treated as lesser than. Because we have a relationship with the Messiah, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to welcome others to the manger, just as we have been welcomed there. Jesus was born unto Joseph and a whole line of Joseph's ancestors, flawed as they were. Jesus was born unto shepherds, the outcasts. Jesus was born unto the Magi, the Gentiles. Jesus was born unto Mary, a young woman. Jesus was born unto the whole world, Emmanuel, God with us. Heavenly Father, our light and our salvation, you bring hope and peace to the lowly and oppressed. Let us see the world through your eyes, God, that we may love those who are marginalized, that we may listen and support and work for restoration, that our lives may bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ for all people. We pray this in his holy and precious name and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.